So, first question. I'll go for the second question. Your first question's not ready.
Okay.
I'll go. All
right. You go. So my questions or statements or introductions, some of them, and not a question, but something to verify if I'm what I heard is true or not.
Got it.
Okay. So we're talking about Ezekiel 6-7 or 8. So the pastor, he read all the scriptures in their entirety, and then he started breaking it down.
Okay.
And he said, as a Christian, God is not going to judge you according to your sin as a believer. And the reason he's not going to do that is because Jesus has already died for our sins. So if there is one single sin that God brings up against you, if there were, then Jesus dying on the cross wasn't enough. So as believers, you will be judged according to your work to see how the Lord will reward you.
So that's partially true. So in other words, I can't necessarily do a sin that's going to send me to heaven or hell and do this, other than the unpardonable sin, of course, in that aspect. What sin and things will show is my life, and this is where 1 John really kind of breaks that up for us. My actions show where I'm at. So I don't do in order to be righteous. I'm righteous, and it will show in my life. So my righteousness or my actions will be the evidence that I am righteous. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So a person who calls himself a Christian and says Jesus died for me, but they're still living sinful, reason why they're probably still headed to hell or in trouble is not because of the sin, it's because they have not accepted Christ.
Right.
You know what I mean? And then you have those that have accepted Christ, but then they declined. And what I mean by declined is that's why he gives away, you know, like things of people falling from grace, where they have fallen, where they're worse off than they were in the beginning. Those are the ones, once again, who turn their life. So it's a lifestyle, not a sin, if that makes sense.
Oh, okay.
Now, the group that usually preaches like he's preaching are the groups that are really pushing the eternal security aspect of it. But like I said, they have to skip many books and many scriptures in order for that process to work. And they are right if you are trying to be righteous to go to heaven. You're absolutely right. You're failing and it's not going to work. That is not the way to do it. It's not how it was made. However, if your life is defined by sin or by fleshliness, you're not a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be both. Right. You have a lot of people that think they are. You have a lot of people that straddle that, you know, that fence in which they think, you know, they living and doing everything else the world does, but they call themselves a Christian. And that's the ones in that group that's going to be Lord, Lord. And he said, I never knew you.
Okay. Okay. So then the second one was the Lord is seen, you know, how we say God is a consuming fire. Mm-hmm. He went into more of that, but I must have write down. And so when Paul talks about what we have done with our gifting, how we serve the Lord, being exposed to fire, that is not fire, that is not the fire of judgment, but the fire of God's presence, because judgment in ways of sin has already passed. I guess it goes back to the previous statement.
Yep.
The destroyer has already been passed over, and we have been acquitted by virtue of the blood of the Lamb. When Christ died on the cross, he said, it's finished. So all who have put their faith in him, those who rejected him will be judged for their sin and eternal judgment.
Right. Okay. So, and that's true in the statement, but once again, if he's talking about once again, that the other ones that if I just say the statement or if I claim it, then I'm fine. Right. You know what I mean? And being that way forever, that's when it becomes very confusing because that's not what the word teaches us.
Okay. So the last one is in the Old Testament, there were, he said in the Old Testament, they weren't necessarily being judged eternally. This was an earthly judgment, and the reason this was an earthly judgment was because the keeping of the law was never a promise of eternal life. People think Old Testament people were saved by keeping the law, and we are saved by grace. In the New Testament, there is no reference in the Old Testament that God says, keep the law and you will go to heaven. God said, keep the law and I will bless you in the land. Your enemies can't stand against you. Your children will be strong. Your lives will be long, etc. Mm-hmm. By time Paul came along, the Jews thought the law could save them and that they didn't need Jesus.
That last statement is a statement that comes from a historical reference and things of that sort. But a lot of them really lean upon the law. Now, what we see in the New Testament, some people speak of when Paul came along, stuff like that, they speak of it as Pauline doctrine. I like to avoid that and just say the New Testament or God's doctrine, because they try to put it off as if Paul did it or as if Peter or somebody. That's the only reason why I try to avoid that. But the biggest part of that is understanding that the Old Testament, it is true, the law was actually, and this is what Romans, when we read Romans, it really breaks this down for us. It just showed that we can't, because nobody did. That's why Romans 3 says, there's no one good, all have fallen short. So in the Old Testament, what we've seen them get it from is that aspect of living by the faith of knowing they need Christ. So the living by faith in it. If that makes sense. That's where we see a lot of it in Hebrews 11, where it talks about the people in the Old Testament in which they trusted in God and they lived in God. They weren't trying to be righteous. While you got the religious leaders, Pharisees, Sadducees, who were basically, they would, you know, twist it to fit them. They would put on a show for people and make it seem like we are such great law followers. And then they would add newer things in the Book of the Talmud and things of that sort that they would create. So it's absolutely right. The law was to show we can't. It was basically, if you can be righteous, do this 100% and don't fail. And he let us know in Romans 3, everybody failed. Everybody, all people other than Christ failed. And Christ had to come to do it right. He's the only one that didn't fail. And us accepting him, saying he did it for us. The people in the Old Testament, the ones who did get it by faith, are the ones who still trusted in him while following the law by faith, not by flesh, if that makes sense.
So that's going back to Hebrews 11, when they're talking about Old Testament and faith.
Hebrews 11 kind of give a, because if you notice, they use all Old Testament, of course, to right. talk about faith and show how that faith worked. And it was a trust and a belief in God, in them just following God and understanding that, not them taking the law with this, okay, I got it, I'm going to be righteous, and then basically lie to themselves.
But then that goes back to what he was saying, that they're not being judged eternally. So they would be judge eternally if they're going by faith, right?
Or not? Right. So they were the ones who got, who are saved by, because that's why it says Abraham was credited with righteousness. That's mm-hmm. why it said, you know, David, the man after his own heart, and we know he's going to end up in heaven. So you see them are getting it, but then there's some fuzziness in there. And it, like we talked about it, I think 2 weeks ago, or even might have been Sunday, where there is a fuzziness where it says Jesus even spoke to those who are dead. Remember that verse? He mm-hmm. spoke to those who are dead, so that they may be judged by the law. And it went to a certain thing. And it's more of a, because if they were judged by the law by itself, they all be doomed to go to hell. Okay. It's going to be, it's once again, through grace. And the way the Israelites are going to get that opportunity, once again, is that's where Romans 11 kind of breaks off and explains there's going to come a time of grace for the Israelites also, in that where they're going to have that opportunity to have grace. It's just once that, especially once that last Christian is in. Now, some people say, so what about the Jews that are living now and they die? How does that work? And that is kind of fuzzy. That, you know, I'm not going to lie, it's something that's not 100% clear, and people have been maneuvering around it because we don't 100% get that part of it.
But that's not meaning that they're going to be in go through and be in the millennium, does it?
It does not. But some say that you have some that have written books that those are going to, people tried to use Ezekiel 38. Yeah. For dry, you know, the one on dry bones, there's one on dry bones mm-hmm. where it says what this means is he's going to bring all of them back. And then all of them are going to be in the millennium for the 1,000 years and have their opportunity to live by grace.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But that, if you read that verse, it's not what it's saying. It's talking about, you know, giving body back to the body, basically, but or to Israel itself. But there, some people do it. Nope, they're going to bring all the dead back and give them this opportunity. So, once again,
they were talking to the house of Israel, weren't they?
Right. Okay. But there are people who have distorted it into, nope, they're talking about the actual people who didn't get a chance are going to be brought back and get this opportunity.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Absolutely.